A reading from Canto 11, Chapter 26, entitled the Ayala Gita, text number 19 and 20. Pitro kim swanu bharyaya.
Pitro kim swanu bharyaya.
Pitro kim swanu bharyaya.
Pitro kim swanu bharyaya.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Pitro kim swamnu bharyaya.
Pitro kim swamnu bharyaya.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Pitro kim swamnu bharyaya.
Pitro kim swamnu bharyaya.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Swamino gneshwa gridrayo.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Kimatmana kim suridam.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Iti yo navasiyate.
Synonyms. Pitro.
Pitro.
Of the parents.
Of the parents.
Kim.
Kim.
What?
What?
Sorry. Weather.
Weather.
Swam.
The property.
Nu.
Nu.
Or. Bharyaya.
Bharyaya.
Of the wife.
Of the wife.
Swaminaha.
Swaminaha.
Of the employer.
Of the employer.
Agne.
Agne.
Of the fire.
Of the fire.
Shwa gridrayo.
Shwa gridrayo.
Of the dogs and jackals.
Of the dogs and jackals.
Kim.
Kim.
Weather.
Weather.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Of the soul. Kim, weather. Suhridam, of friends. Iti, thus. Yaha, who. Na avasiyate,
can never decide.
Tasmin, to that. Kalevare, material body. Amadhye, abominable. Tuchanishte, heading towards the lowest destination. Vishajyate, becomes attached. Aho, ah. Subhadram, very attractive. Sunasam,
having a beautiful nose.
Susmitam,
beautiful smile.
Cha,
and.
Mukham,
the face.
Sriyah,
of a woman.
Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. One can never decide whose property the body actually is. Does it belong to one's parents who have given birth to it? To one's wife who gives it pleasure? Or to one's employer who orders the body around? Is it the property of the funeral fire or of the dogs and jackals who may ultimately devour it? Is it the property of the indwelling soul who partakes in its happiness and distress? Or does the body belong to intimate friends who encourage and help it? Although a man never definitely ascertains the proprietor of the body, he becomes most attached to it. The material body is a polluted material form heading towards a lowly destination. Yet when a man stares at the face of a woman, he thinks, what a good looking lady, what a charming nose she has got, and see her beautiful smile. Purport. The phrase tuchha nishte, or headed towards a lowly destination, indicates that if buried, the body will be consumed by worms. If burnt, it will turn into ashes, and if dying in a lonely place, it will be consumed by dogs and vultures. The illusory potency of Maya enters within the female form and bewilders a man's mind. The man is attracted to Maya appearing within the female form. But when he embraces the woman's body, he ends up with two handfuls of stool, blood, mucus, pus, skin, bone, hairs and flesh. People should not be like cats and dogs in the ignorance of bodily consciousness. A human being should be enlightened in Krishna consciousness and learn to serve the Supreme Lord without falsely trying to exploit his potencies. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sakitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahamvande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is Aila Gita, the song sung by Pururava or Aila. So this is a very interesting story in which most of the story is given in 9th canto, chapter 14, where Pururava is attracted by this demigoddess or apsara Urvashi, and she is also attracted by him, and then they spend some time together and then she leaves him. So he becomes attached to her and he becomes totally bewildered. So this attachment is what was troubling him. And when she left, he was like, oh, what to do now? And he just ran after her. So, and in this chapter, the song that he is singing is, actually he is getting a lesson out of the whole episode. So, the lesson he learned was that there is no use to be attached, you know, and these relationships in the material world are temporary, so there is no need to be attached. So this brings, you know, this changes his heart and he becomes little renounced. And similarly, as we see in this canto, 11th canto, earlier the story of Pingala given, in that also she was waiting for a man to come, but no one came, and she also became renounced in that way. So what happens is this material world gives us many lessons. So to enjoy separate from, we desire to enjoy separate from Krishna and we come to this material world, but so many times at each step our desires are not being fulfilled. Sometimes they seem like they are being fulfilled, but ultimately we end up in frustration. So again and again this happens, life after life, life after life. We take different bodies, insects and, you know, animals, and then we come to human life, man, woman, like that. So we have these desires, we are trying to fulfill them, but they are being defeated. Our hopes are being defeated again and again by material energy. So that's the nature of material world. That it's like a jail. In the jail, no one can be happy like that. So, but what material energy does is it's very tricky. So material energy gives us a false hope that yes, you can fulfill the desires. And when you are smashed, it again tells you, don't worry, it's okay. It's like, that's no problem. You can try again, maybe again, you know, you can win. Same like Jarasandha. So Jarasandha was defeated by Krishna. His whole army was killed. And then his friends, his bad association, that was Maya for him. They said, that's okay, you can try once more, like that. He's a very, Jarasandha was a learned man. He was a big king, he was a big administrator, he was controlling a big kingdom, and actually he was very powerful also, very intelligent and powerful. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted to do Rajasuya Yagya, so Rajasuya Yagya has to be done by a king who has actually conquered all the kings, of different territories. So he sent all his brothers in four directions, all other four, Bhima, Arjun, Nakul and Sahadev, to get victory over all the kings. Not necessarily to fight, but just to get approval of the kings. But they couldn't subdue or defeat Jarasandha. And then later on Krishna went with Bhima and Arjuna and killed Jarasandha. But even such a man who is so intelligent, and he was very dedicated towards Brahmanas, he would give big charity like that. Even he was bewildered, and when he got the false counsel by his friends, he thought, yes, I can defeat Krishna, I can defeat God. So that's the power of Maya. So same way, we are again and again being defeated, but still there is a false hope. Oh no, maybe I'll try once more, like that. But this material energy is designed that it will totally smash you. So what happens? People generally have three types of intelligence, as we know. So a person with the first class intelligence, when he hears that, oh, this is the nature of material energy, you shouldn't get attached to it or get entangled in it. So he learns from it. He learns from it, and then he deals with material energy very carefully. Very carefully. And then there's second class intelligence. People who don't, they hear a nice instruction, but they don't learn. They still try to get entangled in it, and then they get beaten up, and then they learn, okay, now I won't touch the fire, like that. But the third class intelligence is, people get entangled, get beaten up, but still they don't learn. So that's the third class intelligence. So in Kali Yuga, especially, most people are in that category, the Naradamas, lowest among men, and they don't learn. By these repeated beatings, they don't learn. They again repeat the same mistake, keep on doing. It's the same mistake. It's like in a school, if there is a child and a teacher teaches so many children, but there would be a few dull students. They won't understand at all. The teacher will repeat again and again. Most of them will pick up, but these few dull people won't understand. So same way in Kali Yuga, these Naradhamas, most people are like that. Again and again, they are being beaten up, they are being instructed by saintly people, but they don't understand. They still repeat the same thing. So, and in that way they actually lose this opportunity which they have got, this human birth. And they again go down, which is the greatest fear, as in Bhagavad Gita it stated, Trayate Mahato Bhayat. This bhakti actually, even a little bhakti will save you from the greatest danger, which is gliding down into the lower species. So people don't understand these days. So it's like as we went 2 days back to the Melbourne Cup, and there were horses running. Horses were supposed to run. So it's actually, many people think, what's wrong to glide down in the lower species? You can swim nicely like a fish or fly like a bird, run and win the Melbourne Cup, everyone will praise, everyone will know your glory. But actually it's very dangerous, and they, later on we were discussing, Kanapati Prabhu and I, so like later they kill the horse many times, is that right, Prabhu? So if they can't maintain, they will kill. And even if you see in many hospitals, veterinary hospital or for animals, if there is an animal which, you know, can't be cured or has one leg, or they just kill it mercilessly. So that's why it's very dangerous to be in animal life and lower species. It's very dangerous. So, but externally it looks what's wrong, you know, being an animal. But no, animal life means always fearful. You're always fearful. In lower species, they are always fearful of, you know, what's going to happen now. So, like that. And actually, this incident when once we went to our farm, New Nandagram, and there was a retreat, and it was night time, and I was driving. I was going where Dev Amrit Maharaj was staying. I went from his cottage. I was going towards the farm. And there was a kangaroo lying on the road, in the middle of the road. So what happened, maybe it was hit by a car. It was still alive, but its one leg was broken. You could see the bone as well. So I stopped on the side. I didn't know what to do. And there were no signal, mobile signals. So I couldn't call police or anyone. And I was too afraid to pull it on the side. And so then I saw a car coming, and I waved and tried to stop him. And incidentally, it was a police car. So then I told him, see, this kangaroo is his leg is broken. So can you take him to the hospital for animals or wherever? So he said, oh, this happens. Every now and then, because that area there's so many kangaroos, they would be hit by cars at night or like that. So he just kicked the kangaroo on the side, and he said, he told me, you go, you can't cure this kangaroo, so I'm going to shoot him, so it's not good sight, so you please go. So I said, I was trying to tell him that you can take him, it's just a leg broken, it's not that you can't cure him. You can try, but he was, you know, I didn't want to argue too much also. He was a police officer. So he said, and he would have shot me also, I don't know. So I said, okay, Hare Krishna. So I left, and later we saw that kangaroo was dead on, you know, he shot the kangaroo. So this is animal life basically. It's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. So that's why to glide down to animal life is the greatest, we should understand that it's the greatest fear. So now that we have got this human life, we should try to maintain the progression of evolution actually. So this evolution process is like, once a spirit soul enters a lower species, so it's like it evolves. Automatically it evolves from insects to birds, like that, up. But when it reaches the topmost consciousness of human being, it should keep going further. And the purpose of human life is self-realization, like Athato Brahma Jigyasa. So if we miss this opportunity, so we go down. So we stop this progression of going up, going back to the spiritual world, ending the cycle of birth and death. So we then go down like that. So here, as we see in this verse, it says about this bodily consciousness. This in human life also we are attached to the body. So this verse shows what is the result of being attached to the body. So it says here, although a man never definitely ascertains the proprietor of the body, he becomes most attached to it. So here it describes the spirit soul is residing within the body, and as is said in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarbhutanam Hriddeshe Arjun Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. So, in the heart of every living entity, there is Paramatma and there is the Jivatma. So, this body is just like a yantra or a machine. It's like a car. and the spirit soul is driving it. So now the spirit soul in bodily conception, there's the spirit soul is thinking he is the body or he is the car. The driver is thinking that he is the car, like that. So that's the bodily conception. So it decorates the car, polishes the car, goes to car wash, nice polish and washes it, everything, but doesn't take care of the needs of the driver. So that's what the source of misery is. And it says, although you can never say who this body belongs to, we can never tell this, that is, does it belong to the parents? Like parents give birth and they take care and, you know, a child grows, they feed him and everything. So we have a debt to our parents. And this conception actually is still a little prominent in India, you see. People feel this, that they have a debt to their parents because they have taken care. In Western world, of course, still maybe teenage, but in India, even the man is 30 years old, you know, the mother will take care nicely like that. So this, some remnants of Vedic culture is still there, and this respect for parents is still there. But ultimately this body doesn't belong to the parents. As Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Ham sarvasya prabhuo matta sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me, everything material and spiritual. So the soul, the spirit soul is a part of the super soul Krishna, and the body is also Krishna's. That's not ours or parents, like that. Sometimes, you know, people ask me that, now you are staying in temple, you are not working, what about your parents? You have a debt. Because, you know, so this is a conception very common in India. So it's easy to answer here, because for example, some international students ask me that, what are you doing? And they, in a kind of disgust, that you have left your parents. You know, you have joined temple. It's very cruel. So I can directly tell them that you have also left your parents and you are not with them. But I just try to tell that, you know, sometimes it happens. Yeah, I'm trying for some time. But sometimes it happens, even if, you know, you get married and still you may not be able to take care of your parents. You may get a job somewhere else. And, you know, you may see them every 4-5 years. I also see them every 2 years, like that. So I tell, so like that I tell in a different way. So like this, this concept is there, that this body belongs to parents, and because they have given birth. But no, that's not true. As Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that, All the debts that we have to our parents, to our ancestors, to the devatas, to all the men, to all living entities, they are all satisfied if we take shelter of Krishna. Gato mukundam parihritya kartam. If we take shelter of Krishna, all our debts are taken care of, like that. So then it says, who does this body belong to? Does this belong to the wife or the employer who orders it around? So if you see, if you possess something, you can control it. You control it and control it, its movements. But if you see, most of our time, so 8 hours, 10 hours, we spend at work, and what we do is what our boss says. Boss will give an order. Oh yes, boss, we'll do it. So actually, for that time, the body belongs to the employer. Whatever he says, the body goes there. It does that, like that. But of course, devotees don't do it like that, because they are working for Krishna. They are not working for the boss. So that's the intelligent thing. Devotees can see that. So that way, this verse is clearly pointing out that this bad bargain that we have now, this body, this material body, is like a bad bargain. And this doesn't belong to any of these entities. The parents, or employer, or wife, like that. body belongs to Krishna and it has to be used for Krishna, like that. Now, how is this body a bad bargain? That's also given here, that when it says, does this body belong to the funeral fires or the dogs and jackals, like that. So in purport it's mentioned that what happens if when the body comes to an end at the time of death. So after death, the whole life we try to take care of the needs of the body, decorate the body and satisfy the body. But at the end, what is the destination? What happens to the body? For example, after that, if it's cremated, it turns to ashes, like that. So if it's buried, the worms will eat it. It will turn to worms. And if you are in a lonely place, you can't be cremated or buried, then the dogs and the vultures, they will eat. So that's the destination of the body. So the whole life, if one has bodily conception, but there, it's there where it is leading to. And actually in 10th canto is very nice pastime of Muchukunda, King Muchukunda. He was a very powerful king, and demigods called him to fight against demons. So he fought for demigods for a long time. And then they got Kartikeya as their main commander-in-chief. So then he sent him that, okay, now you can go. But you have fought for us for so long, so ask for some benediction. Except from liberation, that we cannot give, only Krishna can give you liberation. But ask for any other boon. So then he said, see, I have fought for you for so long and I am very tired. So I want to sleep for a long time. So just give me this benediction that I have a good sleep, and whoever wakes me up, I'll see him and he will burn to ashes, like that. So they said, yes, okay, you go and sleep nicely. So he went to a lonely cave and he was sleeping there. And incidentally, in a past time, Krishna gave him darshan. So what was happening was Krishna was running, and behind him was Kalyavana, another demon. So there's a whole pastime how he wanted to kill Krishna, and he was chasing Krishna. And Krishna, of course, for his pastimes, for showing mercy to his devotees, he was running from him as if he is afraid. And then he entered this cave, this dark cave, and Kalyavana entered after him. So then Kalyavana saw there is a man who is on the floor, who is taking rest on the floor. He thought it's Krishna. So he kicked him. He kicked the man. But that was Muchukunda, who was sleeping after a long battle with demons. So when he woke up, he was very angry. And when in anger he saw Kalyavana, he just burnt him to ashes, like that. So after that, there is a very nice discussion between Krishna and Muchukunda. So there, Muchukunda says the same thing which is mentioned in today's verses, that he first presented himself as that I am a friend of a Kshatriya. I am not a real Kshatriya. He said, I am a Kshatra Bandhava. I am a friend of a Kshatriya. Like that. Humbly he presented himself. Although he was a great Kshatriya, but that's the way we should present ourselves. We have all these designations, oh, I am this, I am this. But we should still feel ourselves lowly and present ourselves as an insignificant person in front of a superior personality, like that. So he presented himself as, I am just a friend of a Kshatriya. And he asked him, who are you? You are so beautiful. He was amazed by Krishna's beauty. And then he told his whole story. I was a king, like that. So he told that this, now this whole life, this body has got these designations, these upadhis. So this body is, sometimes called, like upper class, and sometimes called king. the whole life, the body is called being called king, but at the end of life, it will be called worms, ashes, or faces, stool, basically, like that. So that's the destination. Just at one strike, that king will become ash, you know. So like that. So this is the destination of body. And further, this discussion is actually about how being in bodily conception, the man is getting attached to a woman and woman gets attached to man. So this also the King Mochukunda speaks about. So he says, you know, I'm like a big conqueror and big emperor, and so many kings bow down to me, and you know, I control the big kingdom. But what happens at night when I go to the chambers of the queens? I become like a beggar. I become like an animal there, because he begs for sense gratification. So during the day he's thinking that he's king and big person, but because of being attached to the body. But he's a realized person, and he's presenting these concepts for our understanding. So he says, you know, so then he becomes like a beggar because he's attached to sense gratification, like that. So same here, it's you know, it says the material body is polluted form, heading towards lowly destination. Yet when a man stares at the face of woman, he thinks, what a good looking lady, like that. This is how Maya attracts, like that. So also in third canto, Lord Kapila Dev explains, you know, these kings might be very big, they can win big kingdoms, but a woman can control them just by their eyebrows, like that. Big king will be there, you know, conqueror of so many kingdoms, but just in a moment gone, like that. And same way, so this Bhagavatam shows us that how we are being entrapped. So living entity in the body of a man will get attracted by few things, like this. Like here it says, oh, what a nice nose, see her beautiful smile, like that. A man will be entrapped. Same for women, they will be, the living entity in the body of a woman will be attracted by some things she would see in man, like that, a good body, good position, like that. So once I remember I was distributing books, and near Coles on Elizabeth Street, so there was a young man, he was standing, and he had a good physique, very nice, looked like he had done bodybuilding for 5-6 years or something, and he was just wearing clothes so that all his muscles were visible, like that. So he was standing outside Coles, and so generally sometimes you see next to Crossways also there is a garment shop, so outside there will be some people waiting, their wives would be inside. So I tried to approach them, because you need not stop them, they are already standing, so you just approach them with a book. So I was trying, so this man who was standing, this bodybuilder, I wanted to approach him with a book, but then suddenly a young girl came, and she said, oh, she saw him after some time, few months or something, so he said, oh, now you look so strong, like that. And then they started this, she was totally attracted, and then they started this conversation, and then I thought, oh, my chance of distributing book is gone, you know. So like that. So this is the attractions that we get in this material world. But our purpose is to get attracted by beauty of Krishna. So like here it sees, here it says how Pururava, he's saying, you know, by seeing a beautiful smile, beautiful nose, you know, it's like he's getting attracted. But ultimately it's all temporary. If we see, for example, materially speaking, if a man is getting attracted by the smile of a woman and he wants to enjoy for his own selfish interest, sense gratification. So he is entrapped by Maya. But on the opposite, in Bhagavatam it says, if you see the smile, beautiful smile of Krishna, you can forget all your grief, and you can transcend the material energy. So these are the opposite effects. And there it says, if you see the eyebrows of Krishna, there we saw how a woman's eyebrows, if it's tilted, and we get entrapped. But if you see eyebrows of Krishna, so we get attracted to Krishna like that. So for both men and women, of course, one can be man in this life and he gets attracted to a woman, so he becomes woman next life, and then woman gets attracted to man. So because of these attachments, we are just the living entity is going from one body to another like that. So, but if we get attracted by the beauty of Krishna, then we can transcend this cycle of birth and death and reach our real home, Krishna consciousness. So here it's another very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that how this attraction between opposite genders, this is the cause of creating a knot in the heart. There is a very tight knot which is created in the heart of both men and women by these attractions. And that can be cured by the process of bhakti, which starts from hearing. So it says, Vidyate hridya grantis, chidyamte sarva samshaya, chiyante chase karmani, drishta evatmanishvare. So if we take up this process of hearing and chanting very seriously, so this knot within the heart, which is this false ego, that I am a man, I am a woman, this will be broken. That knot is basically the false ego or the bodily conception. And that will be broken by this powerful process of bhakti. So, I would like to stop there and ask if there is any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Just a comment. It was very interesting as you mentioned that how man degrades, human being degrades to lower species and higher species. I was just explaining this to one of my colleagues at work, giving a Bhagavad Gita, saying that this is what happens, you take care if you don't follow the regulated principles, you go to animal species, for example. He said, that's what I want to become. I want to become the bird, fly in the air, That's what you talk to. So people are generally in a state of ignorance.
How you mentioned that in the jail, no one will be happy. But we see in Australia, Jain people are so happy, they got the swimming pool, they
got
the
gym.
But what are the hopes for these guys? Because, see, first of all, they are in the jail, and inside the jail, there is one more jail there, no? And they are enjoying there. So what are the hopes for these guys?
You know, I have one comment here. Sakra Mahayana style jail, probably.
But that's the Melbourne jail. What about Brisbane jail?
Yeah, well, if you get a garment head, it will spread and it will be like Gary Mann will go everywhere.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, before you start right now, what's happening to these guys and hopes, they're still thinking.
Yeah. So that's what we talked about, these three types of intelligence. So if first class intelligence is one hears and understands that no, this is the false hopes and false enjoyment that we have in the material world, and this enjoyment which looks like very nice, oh, nice swimming pool, hot water, and you know, we are very comfortable. It's just a matter of fact. And in the story of Mochukunda, he also mentioned that death is like a snake and it's merciless. So these people are enjoying momentarily. So death, it's like a mouse. They are like a mouse who are trying, you know, going here and there, and suddenly they see up, the death is standing like a big snake, gone, like that. And then next life they suffer, before that, you know, they suffer the punishments of whatever sins they have done. So ultimately their position is very, very, very pathetic actually. They seem to be enjoying, but they are not enjoying.
There's also a saying that you can leave a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
Yeah.
So you can tell people what the ultimate reality is, but most people here are just happy, chewing the chew. You just have to be respectful to people like that and be compassionate and kind.
Right.
Because then if you get up on a high horse and start saying you're ultimately here, you put them off and they don't like it. So if you're really, really, you go out of your way to be a gentleman and kind to people, then they come around. But as soon as you think you have some kind of knowledge and they don't want to take it, then
any other question? Okay, last one.
If one has to stay away from the association of devotees and because of some reason, and the place where nobody has heard about what is called vegetarian.
So if you are, so one can be away from association of devotees, but shouldn't, it won't be like he would be always away from devotees, because bhakti is especially, you know, these are goshti anandi, we are goshti anandi, so we do bhakti in association of devotees. So temporarily, a devotee may be in a situation he has to go away from the association, but he still continues his sadhana, keeps in touch with devotees, and when that situation is over, he comes back after that temporary moment. But till then, when he is away, his sadhana and Krishna will protect. If you are sincere, Krishna will always protect. Like that. Is that all? Right, so the 16 rounds, I mean, the chanting is the protective shield, of course, that keeps your... The chanting is like when you are chanting the names of Krishna, Krishna is there. So it's not that you are not in association, you are in association. And like that. And you also read Srila Prabhupada's book, so you are associating with Srila Prabhupada. Like that. It's not, you can't be alone, you know, Krishna is always there. But temporarily, devotees may not be there, but soon you can, you know, try and get back in the association of devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
You meditate on devotees that aren't there, so when you can actually envisage them in your mind, rather than if they're not there physically, you can actually associate with them in your meditation.
Yes.
In the books and the chanting and the meditation, you can associate with them. There's nobody else there, but you can associate. So you can come to this temple. If you're locked in yourself now, there's nobody else there, you can come to this temple in the house and associate with the devotees and the deities.
Okay, well, it's pretty much time. We'll end there. Thank you. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaur Premanande.